On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, one of the most dynamically skilled players of her age group, number one ranked to be specific, Juju Watkins comes through. Juju has had a sensational freshman season at Wynwood High School in LA. In addition to her top ranking, Juju was named LA Times Player of the Year as a freshman. She was also invited to the Team USA Trials for 2020, decorated to say the least, and building on her resume along with her skill set as we speak. For Gil, he sees her as a leader for her era and the up-and-coming dominant hooper to reestablish LA on the map. Beyond that, he thinks she can change the game by pushing expectations for a women's player professionally as well as financially. You can say Juju is built for it. It's a No Chill Podcast. Remember to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcasts to get every episode as soon as they drop. And don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And also be sure to catch No Chill with Gilbert Arenas every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fubo. Welcome to another edition of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Him over there, he's Gilbert Arenas. I said your name, so you don't have to. But go ahead, say it again if you want.
I already did. I'm not going to say it again.
Like, you don't have to introduce yourself. That's the point of introduction. When you when you took the court, like, were you ever like, hey?
No, I let the people who was announcing say my name.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're welcome. And also, we're welcome Juju Watkins to the show. This is it. I don't know if you knew what was going into this, but I was telling Gil, I was like, we got to get her. We got to get her. She's in our backyard. She's this phenomenal player. And yeah, you were due. So here you are.
Here I'm. Thanks here
I'm. And Gil, we got to just run through Juju's amazing first year of high school. So you're a freshman at Wynwood here in LA. You guys were 27-6. You lost to Modern Day in the Southern Section Open Championship. You were first team All-CIF. You were the LA Times 2020 Player of the Year in the state of California. Yeah. He's impressed, and it takes a lot to impress him. You averaged 21 points a game and 9 rebounds. And you were also invited to the 17 and under Team USA trials, which obviously didn't happen this year, but to be on that list, it's a short list, takes a lot to get there. So with that, here we are. I mean, this is like the most decorated.
The decorated, yes. Yeah.
And also the best dressed. I can only say that. We look like we just came out of Foot Locker.
How was your first year? How was it?
It was fun. It was eventful. Coming into it, I was sort of new to the whole thing. I mean, I played up when I was AU the previous summer. But, you know, when you come into high school, you're never really knowing what to expect. So it was a new experience for me. I was very proud of myself. But next year, I totally expect more.
You're coming into as a freshman. You got to... There's no expectations. Like, you know, even though you're like high level coming in, you know, everyone assumes sophomore, junior, senior, you know, let her find the ropes. But, you know, to go in and dominate, you know, just set the tone. I mean, you know, just like, you know, and she did what? What again? Okay, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're making statements.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, as a freshman to be put on the USA's radar already just speaks volumes.
But take us through the dynamic of the team. Was it something that you had to prove yourself, or were they ready for you? Like, okay, show us what you got.
Well, at first, I wasn't really getting, like, the ball as much as I wanted. So it was kind of like I had to build chemistry with my team and kind of earn my spot. But towards the middle of the season, I started to take, like, more of a leadership role. And that's when I, like, kind of grew into my role on the court.
Oh, it was the old rookie. Rookie. You got to earn your stripes. Yeah. Style. You know, because let's be honest. From 7th and 8th grade, they already knew who was coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was already going to be your team. So, I mean, the whole world knew. You know, so from there, it's just like, you're going to have to earn a little bit of it before we just give you the keys. You know,
there's that level of put up or shut up before you actually are just, we're there, you know. So, but... You did it. You proved yourself. And what you just said, you're already thinking next year. Like, what you did this year is behind you, but what are you doing differently going into your second season as a sophomore?
I think going into my sophomore season, I'm looking to expand, like, kind of like my bag and what I'm capable of doing on the court. So next season, I'm looking to become more of like a point guard because I know that my height is definitely an advantage for me. And when I get to develop that point guard role, it's unstoppable.
So what would you consider your weaknesses right now?
I would probably say my handles.
Okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of small people guard me. So last season, I had difficulty with like kind of like being shifty and learning how to get to the basket easier, kind of.
So, you know, and you're going to still be growing. So the trick is you have to get just as low. Because, you know, so you're so used to standing tall, you know, when you're doing your move, it's slower to someone that's faster. Mm-hmm. So because they're faster, they're just waiting on the move.
Yep.
So when you try to move, they're going to. So what you do is you get lower,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you get basically on their level. So when you push, you're pushing with longer arms, mm-hmm. longer legs, and that little guard really doesn't, you know, really all it is. It's just shrinking.
Yeah.
You know, you just shrink your body to make them go lower and then you can go. You know, it's just little tricks, you know, because like if you see like early defenses on LeBron, you'll put Chris Paul on him, Rondo, so he couldn't dribble anymore. You just sit under him, and then now he has to post up, and then when he became more comfortable handling the ball and realizing, wait a minute, let me just hold him. I'm just gonna hold him on the side. He's just gonna stay right here.
And so then, I'm just even thinking of those little guys or pesky guys. Mm-hmm. Magic would just get you right.
Just
on
get you on the hip and just let me just hold you here. Mm-hmm.
But also what you talked about, and I know you've gotten into this before, is using your length. So unfolding that. You guys think of like KD or Brandon Ingram. If you have all that, use it to your advantage. You know, and don't limit yourself. And especially as a point guard, keep them on your hip, but also get by them.
Did you understand what he said?
Yeah.
You did? Okay, because I did. I just...
He likes to do this thing to where it's not a theory.
I just wasn't paying attention that time, but I was paying attention.
Are you back now?
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
All right. What was the hardest thing freshman year?
Probably just adapting to being in the whole team and commitment thing. Because, like, I've never been so dedicated and, like, just solely focused on the team and how we're going to grow together. So that was just, like, that was a new experience for me.
You're laughing at.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're the alpha, you know, in AAU, I mean, my daughter just, like, gotta go see Juju. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when you're the alpha, you know, it's all about you. And then when you're going to a team, like, all right, look, we're going to put our program together. We're going to work and we're going to build. And, you know, and it takes adjustment, you know, so I can see how that'd be different because you're, in your mind, you are the best player in the program and they just don't want to realize it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now you still have to play to play the whole team atmosphere and do all that. So sometimes that is shell shocking, you know, and trying to adjust. I mean, sometimes that's the biggest adjustment. It's the biggest adjustment is like, okay, I'll play my role. I'm the freshman. You're the junior and the senior. You have the authority. I get it. Just give me the ball like you're supposed to. You know, it's just one of those things.
It's your team.
Yeah. It's your team. Just give me the 30 shots that I supposed
to. It's also on the coach, too, to give you the green light. Hang on. Juju, how was your coach in that process?
She was great. I mean, she was just trying to let me, like, find myself and, like, the role that I wanted to play on the court. So then when she saw that, okay, this is how she plays and this is how she's going to play and this is how we're going to win and get to the next level, she was just kind of just let me get the green light.
Yeah, that's the hardest part as a coach, but you got to also adapt too, you know. You know, coaches think that you need to adapt to me when it's the other way around.
Yeah.
No, you need to adapt to us. You got to remember there's 13 of us. We're coming to you. You know, we're bringing you the food. You're supposed to figure out how to cook this Thanksgiving meal. Don't have us come in here and you tell us what the meal. No, we're going to give you the food. You put it on the plate. So what ends up happening is when you have a coach in a setting like that, he has to think, he, she has to think about all egos. You know, you got to remember, there's only one real ego that matters. It's the future. You know, I don't care what level you are on. It's the future. The future always, when it, if the future puts its foot down, you have to pay attention to it. You know, so, but until the future finds its way, you got to keep giving and just like, just do you. And then once you feel comfortable and you got the respect of the team, then we can just hurry up and give you the keys. But, yeah. You know, the future is always in the lead. Little do they know. Like, you know, it's nobody, if you're a junior or senior, you're trying to bump head with the freshman, for the most part, it's never going to work because, you know, you're on your way out, mm-hmm. and this is the new, you know, and that's on every level. Trust me, I. When I was with John Wall, I'm like, you know what? This ain't even no beef. Here's the keys. You're the driver. If you need me, I'll be over here. And that's how I did it.
If you were younger, though, I don't think it would have been that smooth. At your point in your career, 25-year-old you, 26-year-old you.
No. Okay. So I got drafted to Golden State. Mm-hmm. And my veterans were Larry Hughes and Antoine Jamerson. So, you know, playing under them and, you know, I'm carrying their bags and this. They're the captains. I get to Washington. I'm the star player. But they're the captains. You know, so I always like, yeah, I'm the all-star. I'm averaging 29. I'm never going to tell my captain mm-hmm. or, you know, the captain who was, you know, man, shut up. I ain't pass you the ball. Even though I said it a lot of times in my, you know, I'm not going to tell him that because he's still a captain. So as long as there was someone older on a team, I always said, you know, I'm the best player on this team mm-hmm. and you're the captain. So, you know, however you want this to go, that's how you make it go. You do all the checking in here. But I'm the star player, so we just going to just watch a tone when you come this way. You know, but, you know, Antoine was always a captain. I never took the captain role. You know, if it's going to be three captains, then I'll be the third. But, you know, it's always, you know.
Yeah, and after a while, it's not age. It's ability and personality. Just because you're 14, 15 doesn't mean you can't lead 17.
No, I mean, you got to remember, leaders lead. No matter how old you are, the leader the leader stands tall and everybody else finds their place. That's why it's not a coach thing, it's a locker room thing. You know, the alpha finds his way and, hey, nope, we're going to do this. Stop messing around. No matter what grade you're in, the alpha comes and puts everybody in their place. You know.
All right, so we're in L.A., and let's mm-hmm. establish this. We know L.A. has proven on the men's side to produce stars, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, we can go on down the list. Female side of the game, we haven't figured out what part of the country is producing the best talent. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. I would say it's all over the place, but I would say that the upcoming stars are mainly here.
It has to be here. Mm-hmm. Only because, you know, we're all year round. All year round weather, so, you know, when the winter comes, the girls go out there and play basketball. And we have way more gyms than everyone. I mean, I just didn't want to throw it out there because I didn't know. But Lisa Leslie's from here, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on, man. Stop, man.
Cher Miller. But even your generation, your era, there's another reason for that. It's your network. So it's where you're playing, you're training at?
The Mamba Center.
So you go in there and there's other players at, you know, mm-hmm. at your level too, you know, that's going to make you better. You're going to push them. They're going to push you. Mm-hmm. And really,
do you train with boys or you actually train with girls?
I train both, but I would say mostly girls, and I mostly train by myself. So, but when I do train with other people, it's mostly girls.
Why?
I mean, it's just like, oh, you want to work out? Like, it's more like,
oh, you're doing the gifting. Like, oh, come on, we can work out and do one-on-one. You follow my lead. No.
I mean, it's just, let's just get this work in. It's not like something that is just a preference.
No, you got to work, like, you got to work boys.
Yeah, I do open runs with boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You just, only because you just got to get that
physicality.
Because it's the group that's not scared of you, but they're going to respect your game because game respects game.
Yeah.
But you want to be pushed. You want to be challenged. You know, you want to be hit so you can understand the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus, you know, like, you know, as soon as you get past 3-point line, you Euro step. Nobody's, you know, nobody's there, you know.
No. You were playing, you're Gilbert Arenas, high school age. Would you have wanted to play against her?
Yeah, I mean, only just to let her know that there's no competition here. I'm going to try to, like when me and Elena Beard was playing in Washington, we played 1-on-1, she never scored. I mean, she didn't score because, she wasn't talented enough. Every time she almost scored, I just fouled the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, literally just closed
her. It's a pride thing.
Yeah, it was a pride. It was a real pride thing with that one. Like, I wasn't going to let her score. You know? So, I'm it was brutal. Because she plays so hard. Like, you know, like, women basketball is so dirty. Like, you know, elbow. Like, what are you elbowing me for? Like, punching me in the back? Like, oh, this is the type of basketball we're playing.
Yeah.
Dirty or physical?
Women basketball is more physical.
Little mix.
That's what I wanted to get to, though, was the idea of pride. So if you're playing against guys and they're going to turn it up another notch, which is a whole different category, that's difficult because, you know, they're not playing their regular game. They're like, you know, it's personal.
But I like that. Like, I like when it gets personal because it's just like, you like, I want to embarrass somebody. I like that feeling of...
You see, but but you got to remember, the personal from a guy challenges your talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's... You know, at this point, it's always trying to figure out how to tap into your ability and to keep pushing the needle of your ability. You know what I mean? So if you got a whole group that's scared of you, they're going to just make you comfortable so you don't, you know, it's like, if I don't shoot on her, she probably won't shoot on. You know, you try to pull those little tricks, you know, versus a guy. It's like, oh, it's a girl. We're just going, you know, now you have to really, really like focus and really play and compete, you know, which that actually got you better.
Also, take us through the scene here in LA, the competition. You know, really, where are you finding that, you know, you're pushed most?
See, there you go. I knew it. See?
I would say...
Foreign question. That was a foreign question. Ain't been challenged.
No, he's answering it for you, but I'm saying...
I've been challenged.
Yeah.
It was one time where three girls had to come and try to guard me by themselves, and they made it difficult.
I would say probably our rivalry game. I would just say, when it got towards, okay, we're about to make it to the championship, it was more like you have to be calm because it was a lot of stuff going on in the stands. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, you got people in your ear talking dirty. You got elbows, you know, just a dirty game because at this point you're doing whatever to win. So I would say just learning to keep my composure and still implement that killer mentality is difficult in those type of situations.
Yeah, you know, that's really gonna be the key just moving forward is understanding how to keep your mind even. You know, just understand that, you know, no matter what someone's stepping on your shoes, doing this, playing dirty, remember, they're winning if you get irritated.
Yeah.
If you start going back, nah, you just focus. Do your game, play your game, let the crowd do what the crowd's gonna do with them. It don't matter, you guys are irrelevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can hype her up all she wants, she's just gonna be in foul trouble. You know what I mean? You know, and that's how you have to really start processing it. Like, oh, she wants to play dirty, you'll be fouled. Sweetheart, you're gonna be fouled out in a minute. You don't even worry about that. Yeah, I know you're excited.
Yeah.
Your family in the crowd, taking little pictures. You want me to take one with you? And you got to start, you know, playing those games.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the elite, like, think about like somebody like Kawhi Leonard. You're telling me you've never seen him like crackle, get mad, nothing.
Terminator.
And everybody's been trying to get into his ear, and he just.
You know. But would you say that's your style, though?
Yep, that's my style. I don't really like to let. Well, I hate like letting people get to me, because when people get to me, it's. You know, it's my head's scrambled everywhere. So it's just important to keep my composure because that's when I'm at my best.
But that's so hard to do because those words get in. It's not like Kawhi doesn't hear him. He just doesn't say anything back.
It's not that hard. Because you just shove people up by just dominating, you. Yeah.
Like, see, your thing is you turn it the other way, you talk back.
Like, let's say, like, if I have somebody like Patrick Beverly or some, like, Bruce Bowen or, you know, some a player whose his whole job is trash talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His whole job is trash talk. So every missed shot I miss, he gets excited.
Yep.
You know what I mean? No matter, you're still like in control of your emotions, but every shot that doesn't go in, he gets excited. So I learned how to just flip it. Just flip it like, oh, you play a little defense for like 2 minutes. Now you're going to have to drink water for 12. I mean, that's nice game. See you next game with your 2 minutes and your 1 point. Like, you know what I mean? Just to get myself going.
Again. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, and I remember high school, like, in high school, I was different, though. I was just a demon. There was no, what people said, it was like, I was just a straight assassin. Like, it was no, I don't care what you did, I was scoring 50.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing one, triangling two, zone, punch, kick, fight, none of that mattered to me. I'm scoring 50 today. And that was it. That's how I played the game. It was, you know, I wasn't ranked. I made 100. I was number 100. At my senior year, I was 100 in the country. I was like, oh! But
not the number one in year.
No. No, I didn't even know that was in. But what's the funniest? Like, I'm thinking, like, you got to really think like this. If I'm 100 and I'm a demon, what the hell did number one look like? That's, I don't even want to, like, who? Like, I remember watching, I was doing stats. When I'm playing, like, all right, I'm leading the nation in scoring. Then I was like, Teddy DuPay, who the hell is this? She scored 60, 70, 80? Like, I'm just looking at a name. You know, we didn't have YouTube.
Yeah.
You didn't have. So you just seen name in 75. You're like, I got to turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I'm competing with a 5'5 dude. Some 5'5 dude out of Florida just giving buckets, just. Like, you know, he played for his daddy, you know, ultra green light. But, you know, but because I'm looking at numbers, it made me, you know, compete at that level. Because, you know, you're always told that if you're not working, somebody else is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's always still being aware of, you know, the environment.
Yep.
You know, even though the world is a little bit smaller for you guys. Because you can just.
Yeah.
Okay, she did that today. Now let me go ahead and.
Gil, it's that time. We got to talk about Theragun. Is that what you got there? What do you got there?
Theragun.
That's the Gen 4.
Yes, sir.
That's the new one. That is the all-new Gen 4 Theragun with proprietary brushless motor that's so quiet, I can't really even hear. I didn't know that was on right now. But it is. Is it working?
Yes,
I
love this. I love this thing. When I just finished working out, as you can see, you got to recover.
That's the key part. You get the workout, that's hard, but the recovery is almost worse.
Yeah,
because you feel it the next day. Yeah. And if you want to work out the next day, grab yourself a Gen 4 Theragun and get after it. So for the fans of No Chill Podcast, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet power you need.
Mm-hmm.
Starting only at $190, $190 for that.
Serious?
Yeah.
Need to buy this for the team then.
Right. You get more than one. So all you got to do, go to theragun.com/chill right now and get Theragun Gen 4 today. That's theragun.com/chill, theragun.com/chill. Oh, man.
You thought I was going to mess that up? No, I got that.
It's easy.
It is easy.
Go get one today.
It's like a Tesla.
Mm-hmm. It actually is. Technology is great.
Ooh, that feels good.
Hey, Gil, we're going to take a break because you got a very special delivery. Because you like to look good. I like to look good. It's a priority. So what do you got there? That's Hawthorne. And how do I know it's on point? Because we had to take a quiz. And that's what Hawthorne does, is they match up your body type, hair, face, skin, And then they custom make products for you. So what you have there, that lotion that you're putting on, is giving mm-hmm. you a special glow.
Yes, it is.
Not like, even gonna... hair today is on point because I got my shampoo and normally it's on point, but this is dialed in. So you're working that in. And I got to say, it's the smell too. You know that.
Loving the smell.
Not you're not ashy. And also you have an attractive aroma. That's everything. So I got my stuff here. I got body wash, also using that. The deodorant, all natural products. So it's quality. In addition to smelling good, it'll make you feel good. And that's the thing I noticed with the shampoo is just you have that tingle, that special tingle. You know? Yeah, it makes you feel good in a special way. So you have your delivery. It's now going to be part of your daily life. Mine too. And that's everything from I have face lotion, I have face cleanser, deodorant, body wash, body soap. The bar soap is a brick. So when you get that Hawthorne box, you just look forward to it because you know you're good.
Yes, I have everything I need in one box, all in my shower, ready to go.
And the answer is, you know, it's good because it's custom made to you. You fill out a quiz based on your preferences and your body type and your makeup, and it puts things together for you. So the other thing is because we live an active lifestyle, we have the work and then we have the play, baby. That's right. So it's custom made for people that are active and you know, they get the best out of both worlds, work and play. So you fill out the quiz, you get the shipment. It's totally risk-free with free shipping and free returns. So check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's .co, and that's Hawthorne with an E. And use our promo code...
No chill.
No chill. As always, to get 10% off your first purchase, that's Hawthorne, HAWTHORNE.co. And use that promo code...
No chill.
No chill. To get right... Smell good, feel good, and you get 10% off your first purchase.
Okay.
We love it.
So we'll ask you this, and it's always an interesting answer because it says a lot about you as a player, but who are you watching and studying and learning from?
I would say Ja Morant right now because he's amazing, just coming in and just dominating. So, yeah.
Is that what you expected, Gil?
Jump.
I gotta say no.
Actually, I mean, you know, you got a, you know, freshman, that would be that age group, the Ja Morant.
Well, I'm more talking about style of play like that.
Oh, I would, and if that's the case, I would probably say Kevin Durant. I idolize him a lot because he's able to do everything with
that's,
his size.
That's how you play.
First of all, also, you're watching the NBA in men's yeah. versus women's in WNBA.
You know, that's always been, even if you ask WNBA girls right now, who did you watch growing up, they would never say a WNBA player. You know, because it's, you always say the NBA because, you know, you're mimicking what you consider the top notch. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's the fun, that's the weird thing about your, that's what, like, I'm pretty sure if you ask a WNBA player, who's the best player in the world? They wouldn't give you an answer because they got to think about all the overseas girls. And they don't, you know, those girls make so much money, they probably don't want to play in a WNBA. So you don't really, you know, it's one of those worlds where unless you're in it, you don't really pay attention to it.
What it is about KD that you identify with?
Probably his length and how he can... do anything. He could shoot. He could get to the basket. Yeah.
You got, like, when you're training, see, it's easier for, you know, the NBA players to train a certain way mm-hmm. because it's one-on-one basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's one-on-one. So I know that you have to guard me. I can work and train around just one defender
yeah.
and a few help players. Is it hard training your individual skill in a system that allows zone?
Yes. I struggled with that last season because they will always play zone because they, like, I had to, because in order to get to the bathroom, there was help There was all this different stuff. So that's something that I struggle with. But that's the time where I shoot. So in the zone, my shot is mainly how I score.
Yeah, that zone. It's like it.
Yeah.
It kind of handicaps individual talent. That's annoying. I mean, on every level, from the zones handicap all individual type of basketball, and then you become more of a team player. Even with zones, you know, all you do is just start training. When you're doing your individual training, you know, spend 30 minutes just like spots. Mm-hmm. Like spots in a zone where you're just basically catching and shooting, you know, starting at the baseline, hitting the free throw line, you know, catching that, making your moves from there.
Yeah.
You know, knowing these two defenders. So you're going to have to, because you got to remember, you still got 3 more years of this. College, you know, if you're going to go that route, you know, you still have. So you're going to be faced with zones for a while before you get to release your one-on-one, you know, and that's the dagger about your individual work, because, you know, the non-talented is going to not want to, this just don't help me. Mm-hmm. Just sit like this all day. You know, so it forces a dominant player to rely on one skill. So now you're just sitting there becoming a jump shooter versus, like, I'm an all-around player that can do whatever I want. But because of what you guys are just sitting there.
Yep.
You know, I got to.
So speaking of the defenses that you face, take us inside your head. What's your approach, first of all, in the half court?
I would say that attack mentality. Well, depending on the defense, of course. But just kind of instinct for me, depending on how they play me and who's guarding me. I know what to do and the certain things to get to the rim or mid-range or three.
So do you catch yourself more at the top of the key on the zone, or are you playing sidelines?
Both. Well, last season mostly sideline, the wing.
The wing.
Yeah. But this season, since I'm like getting the point guard position, probably top of the key now, or changing between.
So, just to fast forward you just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because you're gonna be taller than
all
the point guards.
Yeah.
Start learning to shoot from here. And the reason that is because you have the point guard position, when you get the ball to swing it, you know, you're looking over everyone.
Yeah.
So learn to shoot from there. You know what I mean? Learn just to, and you can just pull from here. It's a harder shot, but it's like the old Larry Bird, which I had to really search and see why it was. But it's for someone who's taller than everyone. So he can just play like he's looking around and everyone's just sitting there like this and you just spot up. Now, if you're shooting 2-3 from here, your pump fake becomes, now they're going to really jump and you get to go by them.
Yeah.
So just learning how to use, you got to learn how to use your height. Just, all right, little person.
Yeah.
understanding that, you know, when they're sitting there on you, you know, all right, I'm just going to stand over you. You know, you're going to be here. I'm going to put my elbow on your back and go from there and push off. So it's just like learning how to just slow down, you know, and just pick out the weakest link in zones. You got to remember, there's always a weak person in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like you got, you know, 2-2-1-1, all right. He don't know. He can't move.
Victim. You know,
now you're running your whole offense against one person. And then, you know, it became... We're scoring so easy, and I was like, you know, just play man to man, and so we can all help and know where to help, and that's why the zone is not used anymore, even though there's a zone still.
What would you say your greatest weapon is?
Probably my length, just my height, and being able to look over small point guards and get to the basket and even post up. It just makes me very versatile.
That's the thing, when you have length, I think what you just said, post up, is that playing off the ball actually becomes more dangerous. There's more ways to unleash that.
Yeah, you know your height and your family's height, we call it valued. Your value becomes so...
Yeah.
You can become a 1, 2, 3, a 3 that's a 1, a 1 that's a... You know, you have so much room for many spots that you become... a really valuable, you know, asset versus, you know, you're, you know, 5'4". Okay, that's, you can only play the point guard position. That's yeah. it. You know, now, you know, if my 6'4", you know, girl is a point guard, now you got to guard her. Post. You know what I mean? Now they're forced to double. No matter how talented, you're forced to double because she's too small. She's too little. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll worry about what she do on offense later, but right now, y'all going to have to sub her out, or you're going to have to double and give up open shots somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just got to learn how to just use what God's giving you and parents give, not God, your parents giving you,
yeah.
you know, and just understanding how to manipulate the system. Learn the rules. That's the biggest thing. Learn the rules. Learn where every ref is so you're not put in situations where you're not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you have, you know, and I don't know if you guys 3 refs or 2 refs?
Like when we get to like the main games, it's 3.
3?
Yeah.
So regular game is 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, with 2 refs, you're going to get fouled more than you usually do, and they won't call it.
Yeah.
Because they're at angles. So you have to learn how to use, you know what I mean? So like when you're driving and you're driving to the lane, you got to remember, little guards are waiting for the ball to come down here.
Yep.
So you got to learn how to always keep your arms so they can see them. So when they see, you know, they yeah. can see that. So you got to, you know, that's where the acting.
Yeah.
You know, that's where our acting becomes, you know, important. Because, you know, even like if someone swipes here, you got fouled, but because they didn't see it because they're positioned different, you know, they didn't see it. You got to still make those, and one. And yeah. then, like, you know, it's just one of those. They heard it, or the old slap-a-rooney, you slap yourself, you know, where we used to do the, you know, those yeah. little layups. Oh, foul. Like, yeah, you hear all that? Slap my whole arm off. And then just start blowing a whistle. You know, you got to manipulate them too because they're human.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where you have to really dive in mentally into the game, how defense is played, you know, how to score, because you got to remember your offense will move faster than any defense.
Yep.
Because you're training, you know, there's no defensive guy out there doing Superman slides and, yeah, I'm about to guard Juju. I'm about to, you know, they're not out there doing that. You know what I mean? You know, so you're going to always have the advantage because they have rules that they can't, you know, if you're below the free throw line, I got to push you to the help. You know, they have certain rules that they got to live by. So you get to really have the blueprint of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just dissecting the blueprint. This ref, he's going to be on my back. So when I do moves, I got to know how to open up so he can see it versus.
Yep.
We've talked before about the greatness room, and to be in that room, you know, it comes with expectations. And you're highly ranked. So mm-hmm. when you're ranked highly, you got to stay there.
Right? Yep.
And you got to raise the bar on yourself. And also just to be in that room, it's a room of masters that people have put in so much time. They've worked at it. They've had success. So they've earned that spot. So for you, is there something that you're working on specifically that you want to master, that you're like, I want to do this better than anybody?
I would say kind of like some things all in one. So kind of just like being able to be a threat everywhere. Like, you're never gonna not be on me. You're always gonna be on me. And the one time that you're not guarding me, it's over for you. Yeah. So kind of just like being a scorer and just never letting the defense play off of me.
I would say, give that a title, the ultimate complete scorer.
That's up my alley. That's up my alley. I love
He's
it.
He's got a single tear out of his
eye. Yeah, just, I love scoring. It just makes me so proud when people just want to be scorers. Like, you know, with you know, just having a complete overall game, you got to look at someone like a Dame Leonard, Stephen Curry. Like,
yeah.
as dangerous they are with the ball, when they give that ball up, they're just as dangerous because
mm-hmm.
Once he gives that ball up, you will think that, like, you know, if you pass the ball on me, I'm like, she didn't score me. No, I pass the ball, back door.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those where you have to understand that when they're playing you like this and they turn, you move. So when they turn back, you're nowhere. So you have to start, like, learning how to play, when I say off the ball, be just as deadly off the ball. Mm-hmm. And just being deadly is moving, making someone who has to guard you pay every time down. Like, you can't have any plays off. So, you know, if the play is going for them and they got it in the post and I'm helping and you cut in front of me, I have to react to it. Mm-hmm. Now I got to, oh my God. And then when I got a bit, damn, you backdoored me. Now I got to, you know. So you have to learn how to be, like we say this, great scorers, you don't need to call plays for because the ball finds them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the saying was. The ball will find, when it's not true, the player finds the ball. You know, you know, when you're a scorer, you find, you ball chase, you know. I'm back door and I'm not going to, you know, with that, that means ultimate shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I hated guarding, out of everyone, I hated guarding Rip Hamilton. Didn't
track star.
Didn't like no parts of that one. That was exhausting. Because he never stopped. Mm-hmm. He just pick and roll, run down, run back around, run up, run down. And it's like, yo, hold on. Is the play for you? You're like, no. So why are we moving? Yeah, my job is to tire you out right now so you don't have any offense.
Mm.
Oh, switch. You get him. Let me get Chauncey Billups now. I'll deal with the post up. Then, and you know, just running in, tiring me out. You know, so you got to understand that too. The best defensive player or the best offensive player, you got to play those type of games, you know, to be the decoys, you know. Understanding what a decoy is, you know, LeBron was good at it, where first couple minutes of the game, just to understand the pace, he's making passes that he normally wouldn't make at the end of the game. But, you know, if you're help side defense and I make that pass to hit that shot, next time I drive, you're not going to be there because, you know, so you have to play those, you know, just playing those chess games, you know, just mm-hmm. understanding, you know, and not, you know, not just being, you don't want to just go on, you don't want to go into a game just, I'm here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just, like, I always looked at it like, I used to have this clause, like, I was probably the second player to ever had it. Michael Jordan had it, and then I had it. It was the love of the game, where, you know, as long as I thought it helped me, I can play in it. And so if I got hurt, nothing went against me. I played in every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I played in every game. I didn't, you know, I don't care if it was five little kids out there. Let's rock. You know, because I'm gonna work on something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna work on something. So like even when AAU and you have to learn, like even learning how somebody moves. Like Kobe used to train people, like he'd train me and work out with me just to see what I can't do. So in a game, he had that one up on me. Because mm-hmm. you know, and he gets to see it in real time. He can't drop left really good like that. So now I'm going to push him to his left a lot, you know. So you have to, you know, that's when you start mastering the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different thing. That's a bait and switch. Because I want to train with you, but I'm training not to get you better, to get myself better.
But, you know, for a guy who thought about defense, you know, he's looking at what your attributes on offense, what your attributes on defense. He's going to steal your attributes on offense and update his software. And then he realized what your weakness is, and he's going to try to keep you to your weakness when y'all do play.
And that's perspective on playing and perspective on competition, and there's also how you play, how you compete. But for you, what is it that's unique that you don't feel anybody else does like you do?
Probably getting into the basket and being able to finish with so many people just tugging at you and through all the aggressiveness.
That's why I would say strength, because when you said KD, I mean, ultimate scorer, ultimate weapon, but you don't think of him as like a strong scorer, absorb contact, finish, something like that. But for you, I think that's more of your style.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, he does, because he does finish at the rim. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's moving so fast. By time by time he gets impact, it's even. It's even energy. You know, so it's different. You know, that's what I said. But on that level, we understand that. That, you know, no matter how big Shaq is, if I'm moving at a certain speed, by the time we hit, it shouldn't knock me all the way over there, but it should keep me, like, you know, if I hit him at a certain angle, it'll push me back to the rim where I can actually try to make this layup. Versus I just got the ball and now I jumped and he's just plowing through me and I'm like, oh, that didn't feel too good. That didn't feel too good. You know, that's what I said. It's just, you gotta remember the game the game has been around longer than us. Mm-hmm. Rules have changed just a little bit. Our skill level, our talent has became better. Mm-hmm. So, but the rules are still there. So it's like just the master anything, understand ruling. Understanding James Harden with the zero dribble. You know, understanding that concept of, the zero step, meaning the wording is after you pick the ball up, you get two steps. Well, what if I dribble and step at the same time? Does that count? No. Oh, so I can get three steps. So that's where the three step came from, because it was a trickery. So when I'm coming, I'm boom. That's one, two. You know what I mean? So you get a cheat step because the rule says after you pick up the ball. So if I pound it and pick it up at the same time, this is zero. Now I get that 1-2. You know, so it's just understanding wording. Like I used to do this thing where they still haven't changed the rule. I do three steps after I get a foul. So let's say I'm driving to the basket and you foul me and they blow the whistle, out. And make sure I actually, because they can't call travel, they can't call the shot off, they can't do nothing with it. It's a live, it becomes a live thing. So if I'm driving and I got hit and it goes 1-2, I'll take the third one to get to that layup. And they can't call travel, they can't call on the floor, they already called it an and one, so they have to let that basket go. You know, so it's like little nugget tricks like that. You know, someone keeping their hand out there. Like, all right, and one. You know, so it's just once you start, you know, figuring that out, 21 becomes 28 without any changes, just understanding, ruling. Mm-hmm. You know, get very aggressive once you're in a penalty. And that's what you're going to have to learn from your sophomore year to your senior year. Protect your body in a sense of, it takes, what, 7 fouls for the penalty? When you guys are in the penalty, 7, 8? Right, is 8 high school?
I thought it was 7. I feel like you would know better.
7 for 1-1, and then 10 for double. You want to make sure 6 fouls, 6 of those 7 aren't on you as dead foul, meaning I'm fouling you, but there's no reward for you. You don't want those. You want every time you get fouled, you're paying the price. So, you know, you let up, you know, let them get beat up a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And then from there, once that 6th foul come, let's go. Now you can go in there and just move around. So every time you get fouled, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. Now it becomes such a thing where it's like, stop fouling her. You know, because, you know, and that's where the game just changes. You know, that's what James Harden realized, is that it's not how many times I get fouled, it's when I get fouled. I'm going to get fouled when you're going to put me at the free throw line. I'm not going to just let you hit on my body the first 5 minutes of the game where I don't get nothing for it. Just, you're Patrick Beverly, just, and it's just, all right, take the ball out. Like, wait, you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to foul me. When you foul me, you hit this body, I'm getting 2 free throws or 1-1. Let's work like that.
Because when their pressure is on the defense and you're attacking the basket, they're going to be more, not relaxed, but they're going to be more afraid because they don't want to give up that foul. So either you get the layup or you're on the line.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that you like mentally work on. Just mentally working on, like, watch your tape and just see like how many times or when they're fouling you, and like, man, I could have, you just work, you know, just like I said, it's just tweaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, like you're like, once you're skilled and you're the Bugatti of it, you don't really get faster in a sense. You're just updating tires, your body, or you're just adding little things, and you know, so the most important thing is learning how to not get fouled when it's not important.
Yep.
You know, that's the biggest thing to a score. Like, you know, that changes a guy from a Zach LaVine to a James Harden. You know, that's a 10-point difference, and they both get fouled 12 times a game. And I mean, one is taking 10 free throws, one is taking two. Because he's getting fouled at the beginning of the game when it don't matter. And they're beating him up so bad that he gets scared and he don't want to get hit anymore. Versus someone who don't get hit until he's at free throw time. Mm-hmm. Now it's, here we go, yep.
Is that harder in high school or at the youth level? Like, I'm thinking of Kobe with his fake. So if you went up and he just put his shoulder here and you come down into him, he drew the foul on you because the refs are familiar with your game at the pro level because they see you all the time versus youth level, it's different refs, you don't know.
Well, you might not get and ones, but fouls is fouls.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is you just don't want, like, you got to remember, if I'm trying to stop her, we're going to be physical, right? But if we're being physical with no penalty, it's a disadvantage to her. Yeah, but if I come in again, I just checked into the game, and they're like, all right, do what you got to do. And then, you know, I give her a chuck, and then it's like penalty, 2 free throws, and she just walks full court. Boop, boop. You know, I look dumb. I look dumb. You know, now I got to try to guard her. Now she gets another foul. Now she's walking full court again. No energy wasted, 2 points. No shot clock wasted, no field goals attempted, 2 points again. You know, those are the things that helps you offensively when you have people thinking about little things like that. Now, because of the foul situation, they don't want to pick you up full court anymore. Stop fouling, you know, you start having that, you know, you're putting her on the line, stop putting her on the line. Because, you know, you get on the line over, you know, someone's, you know, denying you and, you know, you dig in and as soon as you hit, you feel them push back, you fall, boop, 2 free throws. You know, and those are the games you have to play, you know, to corner, you know, corner. Like, you know, when someone's scoring 60, 70 points, they got 20, 30 free throws. So that means 20, 30 free throws. That means, you know how many people are getting fouled out? That's the key. That's the key going into your sophomore year, you know, working on your handles and working on how to manipulate, you know, the rules, you know, to benefit you.
All right, so bring it back to LA. And we've talked about this before. There's the dynamic of the Cali swag as a player. So we've identified your makeup as a player. There's also your identity as a player in terms of personality.
Yeah.
So how do you approach that? The way you play and the style of play?
I would say on the court, I'm very, like, calm. Like, I'm not really one of... Because I noticed that, like, when I'm, like, really excited and stuff, I don't play as well. So I would say off the court, I'm, like, kind of a chill person. So it's kind of... I'm kind of, like, the same person, but on the court, it's more like a killer mentality. And off the court, I'm just a chill person, I guess.
It shows.
But and that is the way to be. We talked about Kawhi, where the words don't affect him. He doesn't get rattled. And I think it is that. Like, don't get too high, don't get too low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll stay, you know, in that zone.
Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's the Cali personality anyway. If you look at all the players from Cali, it's that same. There's no... I mean, like even Westbrook, he doesn't really, he just plays a certain way.
You're talking about off the court.
No, off the court, you don't see, it's quiet. Yeah. But I'm just saying, even on the court, it's not like a Patrick Beverly trash talking.
I don't know. I mean,
Or Gary Payton trash.
It's not talking though, but the way
he just plays with
animated.
It.
He is. He's passionate. That he plays with fire. It. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else that mugs more than he does and just will yell. You know, I think he has a great time when he plays basketball.
But it's the thing about Russell Westbrook. It's a swag.
Yeah.
That's his swag. But, you know, if you look at Paul George, Kevin Love, who else? Harden. It's all chill. It's
just, yeah.
Getting 2 points. You know what I mean? Because that's what we see. It's this environment. But that's what allows, you know, West Coast kids to thrive in any atmosphere because we know how to just play in the middle. You know, we don't get too high. We don't get too low. We go, you know, we scored 10 in a row. We missed 10 in a row. You know what I mean? There's no, you know, yeah, I'm in you. And then you get real sad and lost when you're missing. You know, it's, you know, being a professional is sitting in that even spot.
Yeah.
And you always have your mojo. I think that's the thing about Westbrook. He's got mojo at all times. And it's like, if you miss 10, I'm going to keep shooting.
Short-term
memory. I won't make it if
short-term
I don't.
Short-term memory loss, that's key too.
So let's talk about this, the pro model and that blueprint. How does that influence you right now?
What do you mean? Like,
do you want to follow that? Do you want to shake it up? Do you think things
Oh, like the WNBA kind of thing. I want to shake it up, and I want to be one of those players who changed the game for the future, for me and the future.
Gil's got a tear again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't say it enough that, you know, the rules of how they've manipulated the age has, you know, really handicapped, you know, progression. Because, you know, when you think of, like, creativity, you have more, you know, the younger you are, the more creative you are. You know, you're not stuck in a four-year college where you're told to do it this way. I got to move this way. Don't do that. You know, you've been told that for 4 years in college versus when you're coming out of high school, you're like, you know, out in the wild. You know, you're out in the wild. So, you know, if, you know, the out in the wild was allowed to just go straight into the WNBA, the taming doesn't happen because it's the future.
Yep.
And now all those imaginations and those thoughts you get to use it in real time. You know, you get to use all your moves in real time right then in the spot, and they have to adapt to it now and learn it now versus in college, this college coach, because we're building for the future. It's, you know, you got to remember, in college, you don't have to recruit. You don't really have to really recruit. You recruit one or two players once a year, maybe, because, you know, if I get you as a freshman, I don't have to get your position again until 4 years later. So I don't need to, you know, so you're just, no one's leaving. So you don't really have to worry about, you know, so now it's just, you know, just teaching this wild tiger how to be a zoo animal, in a sense. You know, don't go outside the realm of what we're doing. You know, so you don't, your creativity just starts getting.
Yeah.
You know, so by the time you get to the WNBA at 22 years old, you lost so much ability to just skyrocket. You know, so I think that, you know, they should change the rule and allow the elite to at least go or start changing the game. And if it's 4 years out of high school, well, then I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go maybe overseas. Now I can play against those same pros and adapt faster. Because, you know, if I'm 18 and I got to go college 18, go here. And I get to adapt to these girls now and show them and, okay, that's what she does, okay. And you get to learn it now. So by the time 22 comes, you're an elite player. Because it usually takes about 4 years, 3 to 4 years to become elite. But if you've already been playing pro for 4 years, your rookie year, you're technically elite.
Yeah.
You know, now you've changed the game. You know, it takes one, two, three, and then eventually
rules change.
You know, I'm really surprised that it hasn't been broken by now.
And it's a bit of an unwritten or unspoken situation where female players go overseas. And that's where they make most of their money.
Yep.
That's where they do so much work that we never see or hear about. And I think the WNBA has gained so much popularity in the last, let's say, 10 years even. It's time for that. Like, that's the one thing that's missing. Yeah, so realize, like, why aren't the best players here full-time?
It's evolution. Evolution is working backwards.
Yep.
It's not moving as fast. It's not moving as fast. Sponsors. What sponsors will you go after? Just throw some out there.
I mean, I'm open to any sponsorships.
that's a better answer.
So I started researching this. Women athletes do not go after women's sponsored products. No, it's, you know, because you watch the game so much from the man's vision,
Yeah.
You know, you're watching NBA, NBA, NBA. So you want the, I want the Wheaties box. I want Nike. I want the Gatorade. You know, you and I want the, you know, so you're just, you know, you look in this and I'm like, man, you, and I look at people like Kylie Jenner, you know, Kim Kardashian, making $1 billion, $100 billion on lipstick lines. I'm like, what? Oh yeah, we're doing activewear. You guys are not even active. You know what I mean? you're not active. You know, so I'm like, an active athlete wears the same products, but they don't. You don't go after the endorsements of those. You know, those the Victoria's Secret lines and the spandex lines and the Lululemon. Like those are a company that would just bag you out. But I don't. It's just. I guess it's just the nature of a hooper. You know, it's just a hoop mentality. Just, you know, I want the Nike, I want the, you know, I want the, you know, and one. I want all of these because that's what being a hooper says.
Yeah.
You know, I done made it special if I make it on that Wheaties box. And you're like, yeah, I made the Wheaties box. You know, that's growing up as a hooper, that's all you, and I started realizing that, like lipstick, blushes, eyelashes, weed, like you could, those are $1 billion companies that just a woman athlete just does not tap into. It's just weird.
Yeah.
You know, this is no chill, not Shark Tank, but I got an idea here. So we're talking about LA players, Cali swag, personality, and that always comes back to fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so it's time for an LA player to come in as a pro in the women's game and take that.
I'm pretty sure they're going to, after they watch this interview, they're going to think about what I said. You
know,
you got two girls
out there,
billion-dollar companies that don't, not athlete, and everything, everybody wants to be athletic wear.
Yeah.
Everybody blushes, you know, nail company, like they, you know, so, there you go, athlete, I'm an athlete. Yo, this is who you should be sponsoring. Someone who's on TV all the time, wearing the product, showing the normal person. Look, I play a full game, doesn't run, doesn't smear. You know, those. That's what, you know, but that's. Yeah.
He's done his market research.
Like this is like, so like Weave companies, you know, if Weave make $1 billion a year, the girls who in WNBA who wear Weaves, like, y'all doing it for free, get endorsed. This is your marketing dollar. So you make $60,000 from the WNBA and you making $4 million in endorsements. Yes, that's a big, that's just.
And you don't have to go play in Russia.
You don't have to go in Russia. You know, so it's, you know, just realizing, you know, as a woman that, wait a minute, this world is kind of for us. So let me just,
you know,
because no one's doing it. You know, I remember there was the Skechers. You know, now you got that. That's what I said. When you have models out there making money off of tummy tea. Tummy tea. Like, what? Tummy tea. You know what I mean? Because, you know, everyone, it seems like everyone wants to be fit. So everyone's making their product around, you know, fit players, but they never go after the athletes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, looking, that you get to do your research now, just looking like, you know what? I can be their spokesperson. There's, D, I got you. You know, because, you know, before athletes just go after the same. We're going to go after, you know.
So, normal. Juju, that concludes the business and marketing section of the No Chill Show. Ask Agent Zero. You got some stuff ready. Fire away.
Oh, yes. So my first question is, was it easy for you to transition to life off the court from coming from the NBA?
When I retired?
Yeah.
That was the biggest challenge of my life. Like, because, you know, growing up, you know, you're so scheduled.
Yep.
You know, you have your routine, that's what makes you you. You know, your routine, eat at a certain time, sleep at a certain time, watch TV, eat the same meals during the same time, do your same stretching. So when I was done, and it's like, all right, you're free. And all right, cool, yeah, baby. And then that time comes, 10 o'clock. And, you know, you check, like, oh, I ain't got practice today. And you don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I used to catch myself, like, I live in a valley, so I'll drive all the way to downtown during traffic, and then drive all the way back. Just a waste. Just waiting for lunch because, you know, practice over lunchtime. You know, so, and then, so I'll do that. And then some days when it felt like it was game day, 5 o'clock, boom, 5, traffic, come back. It'll be about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
That's crazy.
And I did that for almost a year. It was just trying to figure out and how to waste time between 10 to 12 and 5 to 7. But that's why some players go straight to golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some players go right into commentating because they can't deal with just nothing.
Yeah.
We have nothing in the summer, but, you know, it's like, it's summer. You know, that's part of the routine. That's part of the schedule. You know, it's like, once the season, I can smell a season change. Oh, yes, that fall's coming. You know, you can smell the weather change and it's getting a little chilly, you know. Yeah, it's basketball sweats and sweaters. Like, you know, you're so used to the, you know, the cycle that when you're not part of it, you're like,
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, like, Dwayne Wade was like, yo, this is so hard. he was freaking out, like, yo, this, what do I do? Like, he started going to the basketball games, and his son was like, yo, just stay home, bro. Just stay home, bro. I don't need you at every game and every practice, man. And he was like, I have nothing to do. I'm like, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, I looked on a, yo, what was the, you play, I heard you play well last night. It's not that. It's like, I'm coaching, like, What's up? Like, and he became this what's-the-name dad. And he was like, yo, I got to get a job. You know, I was like, I got to do something. And, you know, that's what happens, you know.
And my second question is, was there a point in your career when you realized you wanted to be, like, a dominant player, like a great player?
Yeah. We established that growing up. Right? So, you know, adjusting and trying to figure out your way is always the biggest obstacle. So, you know, when I'm sitting on the bench, you know, at Golden State, my first year, it's like first couple games, and we're playing against Vince Carter, and I'm seeing him monkey dunk on the whole team. And, you know, you start doubting your attributes because you're looking at something you can't do, like, he's jumping out of the gym. He's jumping over people. Then the next night, we're playing Tracy McGrady, and he's doing the same thing. And then Steve Francis, he's bouncing the ball, windmilling. And I'm like, I don't do none of that. I went into depression. Like, oh, I can't play in the NBA. Like doubt, just, and I'm just sitting there just moping day after day. And then my college coach sent me and said, yo, here's a highlight tape. Watch what you do. Forget what they do. Yeah. Watch what you do. So he gave me the highlight tape, and I'm like, yo, he's nice, yo. You know, and then, you know, and I'm just watching it over and over. Next day in practice, I realized, oh, I'm faster than everyone. Like, they can't keep up type of fast. You know, so first play, layup, and then I'm just sitting here just playing this type of basketball with him.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait, what is we? You know, because it wasn't their style. So once I realized that this is my advantage, let me figure out how to tap into the greatness. You know, it's like the more you taste success, the more success you want. You know, so then, you know, I'd run rookie of the month towards the end, and then the next year, you know, I'm averaging 18. Won All-Star MVP, and then won Most Improved. And then from there, it's like, yo, I want to keep going. And then, you know, the more you grab, you want more. And that's how you're supposed to be. No matter what you're doing, you know, if you average 21-9, next year, 30-12.
Yep.
What's happening? Who's going to stop me? And that's how you should be. I'm averaging 30-12. Who's going to stop me?
Yep.
You know, and that's the mindset. And then from there, it becomes so easy that you're going to have to keep challenging yourself, Like, you know, most of the stuff that you see players do, like, let's say, James Harden, averaging 34, it's so easy that he has to make the 34 difficult. Like, if he just played regular basketball and just said, I'm just going to get there and get buckets, he could probably average 40-something. Because the style he plays is so fast that it becomes easy. But no, he won't. Okay, step back. So, that's his way of challenging his talent. It has nothing to do with defense. He figured a long time ago, this person in front of me can't guard me. So let me work on just trying to better myself, because if I want to score 100 on him, he can't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna do that naturally. Try to figure, okay, I'm going, let me do this spin, fadeaway threes, you know. you're gonna start doing that, you know, just trying to challenge your motor, because the people in front of you just aren't there yet.
I got a bonus one real quick off Vince Carter. Did Vince ever dunk on you?
No.
He pretty much dunked on everybody.
Yeah, big men. The hell I'm gonna be
down. Caught you on the break.
Okay, let's be honest. It's Vince Carter. What was I gonna do? What was I gonna do?
Yeah, get out of the way.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. Get out of the way.
Like, right, don't say that. What I'm like, gonna yeah, do? I don't like
with a coach. Hey, yeah, take a charge. Yeah, I know.
He's gonna go over there.
No. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be in that goddamn highlight. I'm gonna sit there like this, and he done dunked the ball already. Like, no, I'm not gonna jump with him. No, I've never been dunked on by him. T-Mac, no, anybody who can dunk, no, I was never around that, no. I got dunked on by, like, people like Jason Terry, because I didn't think he could dunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, because he can't dunk, I'm a jump. You know, that's who you get dunked on by. But, like, the White Howards, and, I mean, I tried to take a charge on Carlos Boozer, that was the dumbest play I've ever tried. Like, I sat there, and I can see him coming, like, ha! And he just pushed through me.
Steamroller.
Like, what? And I said, yo, that's a charge. I've been sitting here for 2 minutes. And he was like, did he dunk it? I said, yeah. So how's he out of control if he made the dunk? I said, true. But I mean, you could have told me that rule before I got posterized. So that's technically a rule in. Out of control means, like, so if I went up to attempt a dunk and you took a charge, even if you're out of it and I make this dunk, they won't call that a charge because I was in control and I made it. Now, if I miss the dunk, then they'll call it.
All right, Gil, so great to have Juju here. So decorated early on, which is really, it's really impressive. Thank you. And, you know, just like we said, when you rank highly and you have a resume, like this, just keep adding to it.
Yep.
We can't wait to see. We want to see what you add to it. And where else you're gonna go with the game?
Yeah, I don't know if my daughter's gonna play JV or varsity, but so we don't have to play you guys. So, you know, just like I watched when it was a sixth grade, seventh grade, I watched a massacre out there, and I'm like, ooh, y'all, what grade is she in? Oh my lord, this is girl, you better go home and practice a little bit, because that's what they got out there. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's just teaching people who are not on level, like, yo, if that's the megalodon of AAU, follow.
Yeah.
Follow the path. So if she's taking 300 shots, what you taking 40 for? You better get your ass out there and get to shooting and working out and practicing. You know, because, you know, just like anything, there's always the elite of something. And people are so afraid to at the same tournament, watch her game, see what she does. Watch, take notes. Okay, she does that. She ain't smiling. Nope, she's real serious. Okay, it's just understanding and learning, and
yeah.
Most of the time, people get scared. They don't want to. You know, I'm like, yo, you see how she? Okay, she is off the court. Look how she is on the court. Is, you know, turning it up. She turned it on. She just shot 12 times. See, now, you know, her team is down. You see what she's doing now? Turn it up. She's taking over now. You know, she ain't yelling, blaming somebody, crying on them. She's turning it, you know. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you got to show from examples, too, because, you know, at a certain age, you know, kids don't want to listen to their parents. You know, so. So I'll be there watching.
You'll be there on the map. LA, the pin is in the map, right, for LA basketball. The female pin's gotta get bigger. So
yeah.
Juju's at the forefront.
Mm-hmm. We want demand. We want change. You tell him we want change.
Yeah.
Change the rules. Change it. You know, it's you. It's that. You build your brand so big that it's college is irrelevant. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't like I'm too skilled. I'm too talented. I'm too gifted to waste 4 years of my talent in that watered down system. Like, yo. Whatever rule y'all got to change, I'm ready. Let's go. What's up? Holla at me. Put the loophole in. We can leave. You know,
change the game.
Change the game.
Yep.
Game changer, Juju Watkins. Thank you very much for coming
on
No Chill. For Gilbert Arenas, I'm Mike Botticello. Remember, you can get us every Monday, 8 p.m. on Fubo. We'll see you next time.